Praise the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Morning Motivation Broadcast. 15 minutes of starting your day off right. Yes, you, with hot breakfast for your soul. I am Evangelist Rossi Williams, here with you Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tackling the everyday issues of our lives with biblical perspective, with a new topic, live prayer, and assigning you a task for today. Our topic for this morning is 5 ways to know if you hate your children. 5 ways to know if you hate your children. And our scripture for today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 24. While you are getting your Bibles ready, let me give you our announcement for this morning. Remember to set your alarms to tune in live with me to Morning Motivation by calling 323-870-4180. That's 323-870-4180 at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. But if you miss it live, I put this hot breakfast on the stove for you on my website after 8 a.m. Eastern. The website is feeldfire.com. You can also contact me there, follow me on Facebook, hear any broadcast that you have missed, order my new book, see prior sermons, and everything else that you need to learn about me on the website at feeldfire.com. That's F-E-E-L, feel, letter D, not the word T-H-E, but letter D, fire, F-I-R-E.com. So go there after 8 a.m. Eastern, hear the broadcast, share it with at least 2 people, because this is how we win souls together. So I look forward to seeing you live at 6:30 a.m. or you hearing the recording after 8 a.m. each day. Well, by now, you should have your Bibles ready. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 24, and I am reading from the KJV. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. He that spareth his rod, what did the Bible say? It says, you hate your son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, I want you to hear that from the NIV. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. What is our topic for this morning? Come on and say it out loud with me wherever you are. 5 ways to know if you hate your children. Now make that personal to you and repeat after me. 5 ways for me to know if I hate my children or my child, if you only have one. In this word that I read to you this morning from the book of Proverbs, the Bible is admonishing us that we have to be careful to not allow ourselves to refuse to discipline or raise our children in the appropriate manner. Because when we do, it signifies that instead of loving our kids, as we say now in these politically correct times, don't discipline them, don't spank them, let them do whatever they want to do. That's love. The Bible comes in and corrects us to tell us, no, that's not love, but that's hate. That's you abhorring your children. That's you being in opposition to loving your children, because as parents, you have a duty to bring them up appropriately. Now, on yesterday, I taught you on whatever happened to the old school way of parenting. You know that I brought you in, I'll take you out kind of parenting. That go get that switch so I can whip you with your own switch that you brought in kind of parenting. That be in the house before the street lights come on kind of parenting. That yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That it takes a village kind of parenting. If you miss that powerful teaching, go to feelfire.com and hear it from the morning motivation page, because it'll get you in line today. So today I must continue with 5 ways to know if you hate your children, because a lot of children in our society today are suffering from the consequences of parents who, even though they thought they loved them, hated them because they refused to follow godly instruction, and now their children are in penal institutions. Their children are caught up in gangs because they needed some structure and some discipline that the parents in the home would not provide. Their children are mutilating themselves, killing themselves, because they have such low self-esteem from having been called names their whole lives. You no good like your no good daddy. You a slut like your sluttish mama. They have not been taught love. They've been raised in abusive homes. They've been molested or sexually assaulted. They've been beat their whole lives, or there've never been enough finances there. There's never been a legacy established for them. They've raised their parents' children, i.e. their sisters and brothers, so that they never even had a childhood. Ooh. Suffering the effects of that. So I need to bring into course correction this morning, like the Lord had to bring me as a parent. 5 ways to know if you hate your children. You ready? Because this is going to be real talk. I can't worry about you getting offended this morning. Let's go. Number 1, you do not train them in the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when that child is old, he or she will not depart from it. This does not mean that they won't go astray. It means that the teaching, the godly foundation that you have given them, will always be there to bring them back to the right path. Now, it may take a day, it may take a week, it may take a month, it may take a year, it may take 5 years or a decade, it may take 2 decades, but I guarantee you that even when they sit in the prison, they know this is not where I should be, because my mother, my father taught me better. When they are out there on drugs, when they are out there prostituting, when they're gang banging, when they're doing wrong, there's still something inside of them that's saying, I know that I was raised better than this. I know that God has more for me. How can you be in the crack house and saying, I ain't supposed to do this no more, I just got to lay this down? Why? Because I know God has better for me. How you saying that, man, when you were just on the crack pipe? Because it's in me. No matter what my behaviors are, my character that's in me is that God has something better. Why? Because I was trained in the ways of the Lord. My parents took me to church. My parents prayed over me. My parents read that Bible in front of me. My parents lived a life, and even when they weren't living right, they still directed me to the word of the Lord. They said, don't follow my path, son. Don't follow my path, daughter. I'm not doing right, but I know better. You know why I know better? Because my parents, your grandparents, raised me better. Oh, hallelujah. When you train them in the ways of the Lord, that's the number one way that we know that you don't hate your children, because you're not trying to be popular. You're not trying to be their friend. You're not trying to train them in the ways of popular society. Let me tell you how messed up society's thought processes are. They tell you that your kid can't get a driver's license until they're 16 because their minds are not old enough to really understand and appreciate all of the burden that comes with driving, because it's not just driving, but it's offensive driving and defensive driving. They tell you that a kid can't even have the capacity and understanding to understand the ramifications of quitting school until they're a certain age, of going to get an abortion alone. But then they tell you that at the age of 2 years old, a child is old enough to understand the abstract thinking, the long-term ramifications of telling you what gender they are. I was born a boy, but I'm a girl. And okay, you believe it and you start dressing them like a girl, because at 2 years old, when they can't even legally or morally understand or academically understand the ramifications of driving, they can understand what gender means and what sex means. And you follow that because it's popular. Number two, you don't set nor enforce appropriate boundaries. We just read the word in Proverbs 13:24 that says, if you hate your child, you will withhold discipline. But when you love them, you chastise them. Because, see, even God chastises us as adults. When you love your children, you will set the appropriate boundaries. This is what happens, son or daughter, in my home. These are the rules in this house. It doesn't matter what's going on in Johnny's house. It doesn't matter what's going on in Jack and Jill's home. If they can run up the hill and fetch a pail of water, if I told you you can't go up that hill because I know that at the top of the hill there's danger for you, you can't go up the hill. There are curfews in this home. There are restrictions as to what you can and cannot do, what you can or cannot say, what you can or cannot wear. You can't come in this house and cuss all in front of me, talk any kind of way in front of me, put anything on the television in front of me. There are rules here because this is a godly home, and I enforce those boundaries. When you breach the rules, then I administer the discipline. Now, the discipline is not abuse. The discipline is appropriate for the child and their type of learning. For some, it is a space. For some, it is grounding them. For others, it is having a conversation with them. But I will tell you that in every episode of setting boundaries and boundaries, the discipline must always include teaching. It must always include explaining the rationale for why you set the rule and why it was necessary. Because sometimes a rule may even be necessary for one child in your home that's not necessary for another, because their personalities are different. The way that they learn is different. Their level of compliance is different. So you don't want one child feeling that you are playing favoritism. So you need to explain to that child why I have to do this for you, because maybe you learn or you pick up differently. As soon as I say it, you understand it. But over here, for Susie, maybe she's not just an auditory learner, meaning that as soon as she hears it, she understands it. Maybe she's a visual learner. Maybe she's a concrete learner. She needs, you know, concrete examples and parallels and reinforcement. So it's important that you explain. Now, this broadcast is only 15 minutes, so I got to speed it up. And let me say also, when you administer appropriate discipline, it always deals with, destroys, overcomes, or challenges the issue, but it should never kill the essence of the person. In other words, you should not assassinate your children's character. You ain't no need of me explaining to you, because you dumb. You so lazy. You ain't never gonna be nothing. That's destroying your children's character. And that is in opposition even then to the word of God, because the word tells us in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Do not say things just to provoke them to anger, just because you're the parent. So then you can turn around and say, I'm the parent. What you gonna do about it? But bring them up and the admonition or the fear of the Lord. So appropriate discipline, it never destroys the essence of the person. It never kills their soul. What it does is destroys the issue. Number three, I got to speed it up. Can you give me a few more minutes here? You don't require your children to do your role or job as a parent. In other words, there's no role reversal. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says a man who won't work won't eat. See, it's your job as the parent to provide for the child. If the child wants to go out and get a summer job, or you need them, or you're telling them they should get a summer job, this is for their extra things that they want to do, or to teach them accountability or responsibility, not so they can pay your water bill. Not so you can put the phone in their name and they got to pay your phone. I'm not even using good English this morning, because this is a shame when a child cannot grow up and have a childhood and get out and play and grow and develop as other children do, because you got them in the house babysitting all of their siblings. Those are your children. It's not their role to be your babysitter. It's not their role to be cooking dinner for all the kids, ironing everybody else's clothing, cleaning up the house, doing all the stuff that you are supposed to be doing. Now, sometimes circumstances in life happen to the point where maybe you're working two jobs. Maybe you're a single parent as a mother or father. Maybe the other parent is not contributing the way they should, and you're out there doing everything you can to hold it down. Even then, you should express appreciation to your children when they're stepping in and doing things that's your role. Why? Because you do not want them to grow up thinking that caring for people all the time is what they're supposed to do, to their own detriment. When you teach your kids to always, hear that word, always sacrifice to the point where they are feeling guilty about any self-gratification, and meaning even getting out and playing with other kids, you raise them to be abused. You raise them to feel guilty about taking a vacation, about buying something nice for themselves. You raise them to let people walk all over them and to be their doormat, to be abused by their husbands or wives, because the only thing they've ever been trained regarding their worth is that they are caretakers. That they're not worthy of receiving good, they're not worthy of receiving presents. Their only worth or value is how well they can always sacrifice themselves to take care of somebody else. It is not their role to be the parent. Now, I understand cooking a meal. You know, when I was a kid, my mom for most of my life was a single parent. And so, yeah, she was out working like a dog, holding it down. Her namesake, her name is Rossi, and my name is Rossi. She is my number one hero. If I can be half as smart as my mother, do half as good as she did in raising her children, I would have accomplished a miracle. So, yes, we had to cook and clean, but I could understand that. But my mom didn't make us feel like it was our responsibility to take care of our siblings. I'm grown, and to this day, if we call her, she's Superwoman, she's there. I could never thank her enough. Ooh, let me get back on track. Number four, hallelujah, I love you, Mom. You refuse to establish current financial security or support or future legacy for your children. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children. That applies to women as well. Nobody should have to take you to court to get child support. That doesn't just go to men, that goes to women, because sometimes the dad is the single parent. Why they got to take you to court to take care of your own children? You made them, take care of them. And sometimes you will go and get with another woman or man and treat their kids better than your own biological seed. Shame on you. Your kids can't get involved in any extracurricular activities because the parent that they're with is struggling all the time just to give them the necessities, and you walking around in the best clothing, the best Jordans, you getting the best shoes, you done ordered some of those Lonzo Ball $495 shoes, and your kids don't have diapers, they don't have wick, don't have milk, the single parent got to get on food stamps and wick just just to food feed them, and you got rims, gold teeth, gold chains. I'm not just talking about no African Americans, because there are all kinds of nationalities, ethnicities, and races that listen to this broadcast, and all of you do the same thing. You don't take care of your children. Then you try to run from child support. You know I'm an attorney. Don't get me into that. You running from child support. I got to give this example. Can y'all bear with me? I'm sorry I'm going over. Give me just a few more minutes here. I had a man who reached out to me to support him, I mean to represent him in a child support hearing, because he had been held in contempt of court for not paying his child support. Now, he's not even in Miami. I have offices in Miami and Orlando, and so the case was going to be, I think, in Port St. Lucie. For those listening not familiar with Florida, because I have people who listen internationally, the case would be 2 hours away from me, and I was going to have to appear for his hearing. But because he was behind in his child support, and based on his income, I was trying to help him. So I only charged him $500 flat fee. Now, that's for me to file the motions and stuff in, interview him, you know, do my consultation prior to the hearing, drive to the hearing, which is 2 hours one way, be at court, all of that time. So that's a whole day of my time. He said, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Ms. Williams. So I emailed him the paperwork so that he could do my paperwork online, you know, give me his debit or credit card, and that would pay the $500. So I'm waiting to get it back because we don't have but like a week or two before the hearing, and I need to schedule myself. I call him because I don't get the paperwork back. And you know what he says to me? My girlfriend, now this is not the mother of the child, my girlfriend said, wait and send you the paperwork till we get paid on Friday because we got other bills we need to pay first. Did you hear that? I said, sir, you're looking at going to jail for contempt of court. You do understand in Florida that you can be jailed for contempt of court for failure to pay child support. But I think I can get this resolved for you. As a matter of fact, I know I can. Well, but my girlfriend said, let's see what other bills we got to pay first. You, that's another sign, see, of showing that you hate your children. Because I just read to you what Proverbs said. You leave an inheritance for your children, but you're going to let your girlfriend, who came along later, or women, your boyfriend, your man, tell you that the priority is not even taking care of your child, so you be willing to go to jail where then you won't have any job because the priority is what she tell you it is. Okay, I got to move on here. I hope that caught you right in the mess you living in when you letting other people help you prioritize them over your children. Number five, see, sperm or an egg, that just makes you the legal parent. I'm talking about being a godly parent. Number five, you have no capacity to forgive, redeem, restore, and or renew rightful fellowship with your children regarding their faults. Let me give you that again, and I got to do prayer, give you your task, and we got to close. You have no capacity to forgive, redeem, restore, and or renew fellowship with your children regarding their faults. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, when you see a person overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, go and restore that person in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, or considering yourself, lest you also find yourself fallen. Jeremiah 3:14 says that the Lord is married to the backslider. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for a friend. And Proverbs 11:30 says that the person who can win souls is wise. So if the Bible says all of this for you in relation to how you ought to treat a fallen brethren, a fallen sister, a brother, how you ought to treat and love somebody out in the world, how you ought to restore them, how much so even more? For your children. For your children. You ought to be able to forgive them like you go in and forgive that boss or coworker because you feel you need them and they mistreat you every day, talk about you every day, put you down, don't value you. You will go in and bow down and kiss their butt all day long because you feel you need them. But you don't need your children, your legacy, your seed, your name. You'll walk into work today and the boss will give you a pink slip and won't care if you are homeless. But you want forgive, love, restore the people, the children who will be there with you for the rest of your life? Friends are temporary, hopefully forever. Your children are always forever. You will go into church and love on those people who backbite and gossip about you, slander your name all day long, run and fight over who gonna give pastors some water, who gonna plan pastors' anniversary, but then you will sit there and side-eye your own children, get mad about cooking breakfast for them, won't even give them dinner, won't even give them your quality time. Your children! Jesus, you will go up to the altar, pray with folks who are addicted to drugs, pray with folks who are in all kinds of sin, adultery, fornication, promiscuity, homosexuality, people who have all kinds of faults, people who have killed your own family members, to restore them and give them that word, but you won't restore your own seed. You won't help your own children out of their mistakes and bondage. You won't guide them. You won't teach them. You won't intercede with them. You won't tell them every day, you my child, I love you. No matter what, if you behind bars, I still love you. When my brother was incarcerated, and I got to end, and he is the reason I became an attorney, because I was a registered nurse before then. I'm still a nurse, but my brother's incarceration is what led me to go to law school. I used to write him letters all the time. And at the end of every letter, I would say to him, never forget you have a name. No matter what they call you, you are not a number. You have a name. See, it's important that you always remind your children, you have a name. It's my name. It's my legacy. I don't care what they call you in the world. You have a name. I don't care what your behaviors are. You have a name. It is above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. You shall be able to prosper. Ooh, we got to get ready to go into prayer. Pray with me now, sisters and brothers. Dear Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. We magnify you for this powerful word this morning to correct us, to make sure that we love our children and that we are not operating in one of the five ways that evidence that we hate our children. But, Father, we are training them in the ways of the Lord, that we are setting and enforcing appropriate boundaries with the appropriate methodology. We are not assassinating their character. We are not killing the essence of their spirit. That we are not requiring them to perform in our roles or jobs as parents. That we are not refusing to establish financial security or support or future legacy for our children, but that we are establishing savings, even if all we can put in is $5 a week or $5 a month. By the time they are adults, we are able to give them something for graduation from school or from college. That we have the capacity to forgive, redeem, restore, and renew fellowship. Help us, Father, to chastise them because we love them. Help us, Father, to be the right kind of parents. And Father, for any that found themselves in this word today, help us not to operate in guilt or shame, but to say right now, Lord, we ask for forgiveness for not having raised them the way we should, but that right now we commit to this day and from this day forward that we will operate in those five ways. And that we will go to them and ask them for forgiveness where we have done wrong. And we will tell them about this word we've learned today. And that God has convicted us for not being who we should have been. And that we cannot change the past. but that if they will forgive us today, we will change the present and the future. Even if they are adults, we will reach out to them today and we'll ask their forgiveness. And we'll operate better with our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. Even if we only have a dollar to set aside, or a quarter or a penny, that this day, if we have no savings set up for them, we'll go pull out an envelope or a jar and put it in the house. And we'll say, I proclaim this is for legacy for my children, and we'll put it in. And every day, every week, or every payday from now on, if all we can put in is a penny or a dollar, we'll do it, because we will leave and establish inheritance for our children and our children's children. And if we can put in more, we'll put in more. And we'll also put in more time. We'll establish the legacy of quality time. We'll establish the legacy of being a role model as a father, a mother. We will no longer run from child support. We'll go by and we'll call the other parent and say, I'm sorry. Even if I don't have a lot to give, if you'll forgive me and work with me, I'll be a better parent, because my children deserve better. In the name of Jesus, bless everybody. I feel chains being broken, because sometimes, God, we have not done well as parents because we didn't know better. Nobody taught us, God. But bless us this morning. I come in agreement now with everyone listening that you will no longer hate your children, but that you will do these five things. It's done, it's done, it's done. Yeah, 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 I feel the chains breaking. In Jesus' name, let everyone listening now say, amen, hallelujah. Come on and say, today, I will be a better parent. Say it again, the lines are muted. Today, I will be a better parent. Say, today, I will no longer hate my children. Come on and praise God. Let them bless you. Let them use you. Let them bring that to fruition. You in your secret room, your war room, your prayer closet. Come on, come on. Just open up to the Lord. Just cry out to him for all of the mistakes. No more destruction. Let me give you our task for today, and thank you for bearing with me as I've run over the 15 minutes. I apologize to you. Our topic for this morning is five ways to know if you hate your children. Your task for today is to evaluate yourself against those five ways. Ask for forgiveness. I don't mean just ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Ask for forgiveness from your children, whether they are grown. I had to do this with my grown son. I reached out to him a few weeks ago, and I just told him, I'm still treating you like a kid, and it's causing conflict. I got to realize that you are grown and be willing to let go and approach you differently, okay? I'm being transparent with you so you'll know I'm not perfect, listeners. This is for me as well as you. Reach out and ask for forgiveness today, even if they're grown, and fix it going forward, all right? Please share this broadcast with at least two people. Send them to feel the fire. No more destruction and no more hate. No more lost children. No more hate. Love on your children. from a godly perspective today. See you in the morning.